Good morning. Greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here. What a beautiful morning, Sunday morning it is. It was, I think, 49 degrees here in Altoona. What a crisp morning. Beautiful. Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6 this morning for a message. Enjoyed the Sunday school discussion and thoughts that were shared already this morning. I want to continue to look into God's Word this morning and learn. So last week, my mind has been on the subject of gardens. Last Saturday, we planted our garden. And as I reflected on the events of this past week, think about the shooting in Texas. And yesterday, we got the annual report from CAM in the mail. And it says right on the front, 82 million people displaced in the world. And we think of all the different pain that is going on in the world right now, the war in Ukraine. As I processed some of these things, my mind went to these verses in Galatians chapter 6. I want to read verse 7 through 9. Let's read these verses here in Galatians chapter 6. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So we're going to look at these verses this morning for a text and for a message. But I want you to think in your mind this morning about a garden. The soil's freshly tilled. There's nothing planted in the garden yet. It's a clean slate. It's ready for seeds to be planted. And I'd like for us to think about this as how we begin life. It's this empty garden. And we have this bag of seeds. Last Saturday, we planted some seeds in our garden. I'm sure you planted seeds in your garden. And we begin life with this bag of seeds. And Galatians here says that we have two different kinds of seeds. We have seeds that we can sow to the flesh, and we have seeds that we can sow to the Spirit. In this bag, you might not be able to tell it from where you're sitting, but I have two different kinds of seeds in this bag. I have about 200 corn seeds, sweet corn seeds in there, and I have about 100 pea seeds in this bag. Just imagine you're in your garden and you're ready to start planting seeds. As we walk down this row of life and we're planting these seeds, I have a choice when I open this bag what seed I'm going to plant in that row. And I'd like for us to think that when we're young, we have a bag full of seeds and we have a garden that doesn't have a lot planted in it yet. And the longer we live, the fewer seeds we have in this bag, and the more we have in our garden. In our garden, the longer we live, our garden begins to speak what seeds that we've been planting. And once these seeds are sown, they're planted in the ground, they're sown. There's not too much I can do about the seeds that I planted when I was younger, when I was 16, 17, 18, there's not too much I can do about them. I'm now reaping the fruit of them, but I can't change them. Yes, I can go back and apologize. Yes, I can be sorry for seeds that I planted that were sown to my flesh, but they're planted. In our garden, we have some seeds that produce rather quickly. So these pea seeds, I think it says that they will be mature in, I think, 63 days it is. Sweet corn takes a bit longer. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But we don't know when our opportunity for planting seeds is going to be over. Brother Vince reminded us this morning that Christ is going to come back, and then our opportunity for sowing seeds will be over. and then we will experience the fruit of our seed eternally. This morning, I'd like to think about, for a subject, the title, The Law of Sowing and Reaping. It's what we call it. So the question I have for us this morning is, what are the seeds that I'm planting in my row? If you can visualize that garden, what seeds am I planting as I go down that row? Am I sowing to the flesh, or am I sowing to the Spirit? The first point I'd like to think about this morning is the law. Paul says here, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Vince talked a little bit about deception this morning. We don't know if we're deceived. But the word law here that we're thinking about this morning, we're thinking about it like the law of gravity. Gravity is a law. We cannot decide this morning that we're going to just disobey gravity. If you jump off of something high, it's an indisputable fact that you are going to fall. We live within those confines. We function in those limitations and those parameters. And that law can be a very harsh thing. If someone decides to jump off of something high, they hit the ground. It's not very forgiving. But that's the law of gravity. This morning we're talking about the law of sowing and reaping. It can also be very harsh. We're going to look at the positive and the negatives of sowing and reaping. So just bear with me. But the first law I'd like to look at is that seeds planted dictate the fruit. Sowing and reaping is similar to gravity, that I don't get to choose its effects on my life. God created us to be creatures of choice. We have this bag. We can choose if we're going to pull out a corn seed or if we're going to pull out a pea seed and plant it. We have a choice whether we're going to sow to the flesh or we're going to sow to the Spirit. But I am not able to choose the consequences of that decision. That is already established. That's a law. That's already determined by Almighty God. And it's an elementary thought that if I plant this corn seed, I'm going to get a corn plant. And if I plant this pea seed, I'm going to get a pea plant. I don't plant corn and hope peas come up. And I don't plant peas and hope that corn comes up. This is a law from creation. Genesis 1 verse 11 says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." So this is a law of God. Corn seeds always produce corn, and pea seeds always produce peas. It doesn't matter what I do to this seed. This corn seed or these pea seeds, I cannot make them produce the other. It doesn't matter how long they're together in this bag. It has no influence on what they produce. They are always going to be corn seeds or pea seeds. God is not mocked. I will reap what I sow. Satan would like for us to believe that we can sow one thing, that we can plant corn seeds and pick peas, but it's a lie. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Satan told Eve this. He tried to get her to believe this. Chapter 3, verse 1. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat every tree of the garden? And we know what Eve went on and told him, what they were and were not allowed to do. Verse 4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. If you sow this seed, you're not going to reap what God said. For verse 5, "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil." So there Satan deceived Eve into thinking that the consequence that God said was going to happen wasn't actually going to happen. And we know what happened there. She went ahead and took the fruit and realized that the consequence did happen. Satan wants me to believe that I can sow to my flesh and reap eternal life. I'll flip back to Galatians chapter 6 for our text verses. He wants me to believe that I can sow to my flesh and I won't reap the consequences of it. He wants me to believe that I can listen to whatever kind of music I want to. Music that feeds my flesh, but it won't affect my actions. I can just listen to it over here, but it's not going to affect the way I act. Or I can just look at something I shouldn't, but I won't reap the consequences for that. No one will ever know what I did. Surely a little bit of that won't have an effect on me. Just one or two seeds in my garden. No one will ever know. We're thinking about sowing this morning, planting plants to produce a fruit. He wants me to believe that I can just throw myself into my work, building a business, make a name for myself, while I neglect the needs of my family. I can sow those seeds, but I can reap the benefits of a godly family. I can spend time later on straightening out what I missed when my children were young. He tells us, well, I have to get my business where it needs to be. I have to provide. It's just a phase I'm in. That's true. But those seeds will produce fruit. Maybe it's to mothers. I'm too busy to meet this need or that need. But those seeds produce fruit. Under our first point here, seeds always produce fruit after their kind. Job 4, verse 8 says, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." Proverbs 11, verse 18, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." So there we're starting to think about the positive aspects of sowing and reaping. Proverbs 22, verse 8, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." So the first law of sowing and reaping that we're considering is that seeds always bear fruit after their kind. The second law I'd like to think about in sowing and reaping is that there's a time period between planting and harvest. Here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." We're going to look at that a little bit later on, but there's a time between planting and harvest. In this bag, I have corn seeds that are called Honey Select corn seeds. And there's 70, it's a 79-day to maturity. I plant those seeds, and it's a long time until I can have sweet corn. We like instant gratification, don't we? We want to be able to plant and harvest immediately. But the results in planting, the law of sowing and reaping, the results are not immediate. We live in a world where we can get where we want, get what we want right away. If I want sweet corn in January, I can go to the store and I can get sweet corn. I can skip that waiting process. I don't have to wait till August to get sweet corn if I don't want to. I can get what I want now. But how does that sweet corn from Aldi taste in January compared to what you get in August from your garden? There's no comparison there. But a law of sowing and reaping is that the results are not immediate. And Satan uses this to his advantage. He's quick to point out that you sowed to your flesh and you didn't even reap any consequences. He hides that from us. Reaping has a delayed process. It doesn't happen right away. We plant that seed and we don't see anything happen, so we plant another one and another one and another one, and nothing happens. And we make this a pattern in our life of planting these seeds. But then later on, when those seeds start to produce fruit, then we've planted so many of those seeds. It's too late. Yes, we can repent, we can ask forgiveness, but there's still going to be a reaping because God is not mocked. What a man sows, he shall reap. Satan also uses this to discourage us. We're sowing to the Spirit, but we're not seeing any results. We're not even reaping anything from it. And we ask ourselves, was this even worth it? Is it worth sowing? When we're out there in the garden, when it's a 90-degree Saturday, we'd much rather be fishing or swimming or kayaking or doing something like that. But we're hoeing weeds there in the sweet corn. What motivates us to do that? Well, maybe it's our parents, but we want that fruit. We want that good sweet corn at the end of the year. It says here that we will reap if we faint not. So this time period between planting and harvest, that due season, it's one of the laws of sowing and reaping. There's time involved. Number three, seeds multiply. More is harvested than planted. In this bag, I have 202 corn seeds in this bag. And if I plant these corn seeds in a garden with the right amount of nutrients and the water and the seeds, and each one produces a stalk of corn. And on each stalk, there's at least one ear, and maybe two ears of corn. The multiplication can be tremendous of what the potential that's in this little bag. That's a law of planting. The verse we read from Genesis 1 and verse 11 talks about whose seed is in itself. A plant, God designed it so that it has a seed within itself so that it can multiply and can produce more. This is a law of sowing and reaping. We plant seeds and it multiplies. This is whether we sow seeds to the flesh or we sow seeds to the Spirit. There's multiplication that happens. This law can be a very positive thing if it's the right seeds that we plant. We sow to the Spirit. But in our world today, we see a lot of reaping for seeds that have been sown, and they're seeds to the flesh. There's a lot of brokenness in our world because of this law. Someone, I don't know how many of you saw the article last week, but someone wrote an article this past week titled, "Texas Shooting Begs the Question, Where is God?" God does not change his laws. There's a law of sowing and reaping. I'm not trying to assign blame by saying that. It's just a fact. There is a law of sowing and reaping, and God allows that to happen. Seeds multiply, and often the reaping goes far beyond the individual who planted the seed. That's a very sobering fact. Seeds that I plant, seeds whether I sow to my flesh or I sow to the Spirit, those effects go far beyond me. They affect my family. They affect my community. They affect my church. They affect people who I relate to. More is harvested than planted, both positively and negatively. I'd like to think a little bit about sowing. Sowing is planting these seeds. And from our text verse, I mentioned this earlier, but there's only two kinds of seeds. They're either sow to my flesh or I sow to the Spirit. What does it mean to sow to the flesh? What is it that Paul is talking about here? Well, Strong's tells us the definition for the word flesh is our human nature and its passions. And if we look back to verse 16 of Galatians chapter 5, let's start reading in verse 16 and read through verse 26 to get this idea of flesh and spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So I want us to think about our seed comparison here again. and it would not be a good idea for me to plant one stalk of corn or one kernel of corn and the next one a kernel of a pea seed. Because what do peas do? We plant them beside a fence because they climb up, right? So if I'm sowing both of these seeds in the same row, what's going to happen to my corn crop? It's going to be covered. It's going to be choked with peas. Let's keep reading here in verse 18. But if you're led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Let's go ahead and just keep reading. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. What does the works of the flesh look like? Paul paints a picture here for us. Verse 19 on, some pretty gross sins, adultery, fornication, all these things. These are works of the flesh. That's what sowing to the flesh looks like. The flesh is a love for the world. 1 John 2:15-17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's what sowing to the flesh looks like. Paul teaches here in Galatians 6 that sowing these seeds brings corruption. Corruption means decay or ruin, rotting. In our fallen state, we have this flesh to deal with. We have these seeds in our bag that we have to choose what we're going to sow. Sowing seeds to the flesh produces corruption 100% of the time. Don't forget that. Seeds to the flesh produce corruption, that rot. On the opposite side of this, sowing to the Spirit. What does it mean to sow to the Spirit? Verse 17 of chapter 5 tells us that the Spirit is the opposite of the flesh. The flesh wants what passes away, but it's the things of the Spirit that abide forever. Sowing to the Spirit means that I feed my spiritual man, and I'm growing in my spiritual man. And Tim just taught on these fruits of the Spirit just on Mother's Day, so we're not going to go into them. But if we want Holy Spirit fruit, then we must sow Holy Spirit seeds, Spirit seeds, if we want that fruit. Walking down that road, dropping those seeds of love and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are the seeds that we have to be sowing if we want to reap eternal fruit. It says here that there's no law against this. You can't get too much of this seed in your garden. You can't get too much love. You can't get too much joy. There's no law against it. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, this is in the context of giving, but it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So if you want to reap many spiritual fruits, then sow spiritual seed in your garden. I'd like to look at it reaping. Again, there's just two kinds of seeds, and there's just two kinds of reaping. We cannot separate the seed from the plant. Paul says here that we, in verse 8, that he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Corruption. Have you ever gone into your garden at the end of the summer and you're planning to pick the sweet corn that you've worked hard all summer? You've been weeding it, been watering it, and you go to pick that sweet corn and you grab that ear and you start to pull back the husk, and in there is just this soft, mushy, brown ear of corn with worms all through it. That's the picture I get here of corruption. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap rottenness. We should not be surprised by this. It's a law of sowing and reaping. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. But the beautiful part is, if we sow to the Spirit, then we can reap life everlasting. The produce from our gardens, as good as it is, it's gone so quickly. But sowing to the Spirit is eternal. Romans 8 verse 13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So as we're walking down those rows in our garden, let's plant those seeds that produce life everlasting. That's what we want. We want to be able to come to the end of our life, look back on our garden, and see plants that are producing fruit by God's grace. Number four, a law of sowing and reaping is perseverance. Verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Gardens are not just sowing and reaping. We know that. There's a lot of work in between. A beautiful, productive garden has a lot of hard work in it. And there's a lot of perseverance that goes into having a productive garden. If you want a good harvest, there's some things you're going to have to do. The same way in our spiritual lives. If we want to have a productive garden spiritually, we're going to have to do some things in our garden. 1 John 2 verse 8 says, "Look to yourselves that we lose not the things which we have wrought, but that ye receive a full reward." Our physical gardens require work and effort. It's amazing how fast a beautiful garden can go from nice seeds in a row to a jungle. It just happens by itself, doesn't it? We have to be out there. We have to be pulling those weeds, getting rid of those weeds that want to suck the nutrients out of the soil. The same way in our spiritual life, those things that want to drag us down, those things, those weeds that want to pop up and choke out the good plants, we've got to be pulling those out. A good garden takes fertilizer. You have to give those plants the food that it needs. In our spiritual lives, daily getting into God's Word, reading it, applying it to our life, that's how we're going to grow in our spiritual walk. Again, water. Garden needs water. Need that water of the Spirit that pours into our lives, that gives us life and gives us sustainment. It also takes patience, doesn't it? We've talked about this a little bit before. But a garden takes patience. We have to plant those seeds. God has to give the increase, and then we can reap the reward if we're faithful. So what I want us to think about this morning is, now is the time of planting. Now is the time of choosing which seed we're going to pull out of our bag. Are we going to sow to the flesh, or are we going to sow to the Spirit? And one day the master gardener is going to return. And what is my garden going to look like? Is it going to be producing fruit? Or is it going to be a rotten, weedy mess? If I sow to my flesh, that's what it's going to be. But if I sow to the Spirit, then it can be a productive garden for him. We know what gardens look like sometime toward the end of August. We've kind of just given up on them, right? We've picked most of what we want, and the vines are all brown, and there's just weeds everywhere, and it's just a mess. And we look forward to just knocking that over and starting again next year. As I look in my heart, as I look in my life, what does my garden look like? Turn to Revelation chapter 22. I want to read a verse from there in closing. Revelation 22, in verse 12. It's the words of Jesus. He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." The master gardener is coming back, and we want to be able to show him a productive garden, and we want our seed that we've sown to be producing eternal fruit. God help us as we do that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for the opportunity to gather this morning and worship. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to still sow to the Spirit. Lord, help us when we are tempted to sow seeds that feed our flesh. Lord, help us as we walk this journey and we raise our spiritual gardens for you. Lord, help us to be men and women of integrity, purity, and ready for your return. Lord, I just pray that you bless each person gathered here this morning. Bless those who couldn't be here for whatever reason, that you just meet their needs. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.